Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Everybody, and welcome to episode 150 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today I'm here with Vanessa Avalos. Vanessa lives in Bridgeport, Connecticut, where she is a community support specialist who works with adults with mental health diagnoses. Welcome, Vanessa.
Good morning. Good morning, Jen.
I'm so happy to talk to you today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Once upon a time in 2018, I was home with my partner and his brother had came to visit us, which he usually does during the weekdays. And I'm not sure exactly how the conversation came about, but he had mentioned that he and his friend were doing something new. And we both asked him, like, well, what are you doing? And he said, well, we're doing intermittent fasting. And me and my partner just looked at each other and like a lot of people, they, you know, we answered, well, what's that about? That doesn't sound too healthy here. And I don't exactly remember how he tried to explain it to me. I'm thinking, now that I think about it, I don't think he had all the information to explain to me what intermittent fasting was. I think it was just something that him and his friend heard about and they wanted to try it and they didn't know anything, too much information about it, you know, to give me some facts or books or, you know, just YouTube videos to look into it. And when he tried to explain it to me and my partner, we just kind of looked at each other like, well, that doesn't really sound healthy.
I mean, I can imagine, you know, they're like, I don't know, I'm doing this thing. I heard about it. I'm just, you know, like not eating.
Yes. And you're like, what? No, no. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. We're supposed to eat every 2 hours to stoke our metabolism. You must be crazy.
Yes, yes. Actually, that was pretty much my reaction. I said, that doesn't really sound healthy. Maybe you should just go and do this. And during that time, around 2017, I was looking into different lifestyle changes, I would say, in terms of eating. And in the past, I've done Atkins, and I did enjoy Atkins, but it wasn't long term. I think it was in my early 20s when I started that. But in 2017, I started Whole30 at that time. And to be honest, I really did enjoy Whole30. And when I finished Whole30 in 2017, I actually never went back to putting creamer and sugar in my coffee. So, you know, that was something that I took away from it. And I knew which kind of foods made me feel better. And
I love that. Can we talk about Whole30 for just a minute? Because really, a lot of people think that Whole30 is a diet that you do for 30 days and then you go off of it. But as you just said, it teaches you about what foods work well for your body.
Correct. Yes.
What, besides learning that you could drink black coffee, what else did you learn about your body from Whole30? It's designed at its root, or at the heart of it, to be an elimination protocol where we take out the foods that might be problematic, eat whole, real foods, you know, that they recommend that are likely to not be problematic. Do it for 30 days, and you're not even supposed to expect to lose weight loss or to lose weight on it.
Correct.
You're just supposed to, it's a time for, you know, it's not a weight loss diet. So what did you learn about your body from Whole30?
I learned which specific foods made me feel bloated, gave me inflammation.
Like what? Like which ones?
Well, for me, surprisingly, well, I'm okay with dairy. I'm okay with dairy, but for some reason, when I did Whole30 and I tried to incorporate dairy back, I couldn't have like a combination of different dairies at the same time. Let's say like cheese and sour cream, or sour cream and milk. I couldn't have those two things to eat at the same time, but separately I could. I could, just not a lot of it. Beans. I love beans. You know, we come from a Spanish family. We love our beans, and I eat beans for breakfast. It's a Salvadorian thing. My family's from El Salvador. So we love having beans for breakfast. And I learned that certain types of beans I can have a little bit of, and others I can have a good amount of. So I definitely learned that. I learned that taking some of these different foods out for a time and then bringing them back in helped me to sleep better. To be honest, I learned to sleep better with that too. So that's what I learned with Whole30.
Those are all very important things. But you didn't learn that you needed to eliminate lots and lots of things.
No.
But you probably realized you felt better with real food.
I did. Yes. Yeah. I did enjoy that. Now, when I did Atkins in the past, in my late teens, early 20s, I don't recall feeling as good as when I was doing Whole30. So I knew that Whole30 as a whole, that could be another tool for me to use if I wanted to do that again. Because like you said, it's not meant to be a long-term lifestyle.
Diet.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you did that in 2017. And then, you know, fast forwarding back to 2018, you first heard about intermittent fasting. What happened next?
Well, it just kind of, after he spoke about it and we kind of just like brushed it off, me and my partner, he never mentioned it again. So I just assumed that maybe he wasn't really doing it anymore and maybe it was a fad for him. I don't know. But it never was brought up again at all.
Well, you know, if he wasn't operating under a lot of information, I can imagine.
Right. But I tell him to this day that he's the one that planted that seed. You know, he's the one that planted that seed. So I will fast forward a little bit. So in 2019, I want to say around May 2019, I went to the doctor, and I was, for that whole year, I was feeling very sick. I mean, just sick all the time. I was always congested. I had laryngitis, runny nose. I could barely speak, and it would not go away with the medicines I was taking. Nothing was making me feel better.
So you just had lots of just inflammation and yuck that wouldn't go away.
It wouldn't go away. And I felt like I was sick every day for almost a whole year. And I have family and friends and coworkers that could attest to that I was pretty much sick all year. And I just couldn't understand why. So I went to my doctor, my primary care doctor at the time, and he suggested that I go to an ENT doctor. So I went to an ENT doctor, and she suggested that, she had asked me how much I weighed during that session with her, that meeting with her. And I told her my weight, because I've never been ashamed of my body or never been ashamed to say how much I weighed. And then she asked me if I snored at night. And I said, I believe I do. Yeah, I do snore at night. And it wasn't the words that she said to me. It was just more like her response to what I said to her, just her facial expression that didn't sit well with me. And I've never been that way to be with a doctor that made me feel uncomfortable. But I'm starting to think that maybe she wasn't intentionally doing that. But to me, it felt like, you know, I was feeling uncomfortable about that.
Would you share what your weight was that day? Do you remember?
I think at that time, I might have been in the 240s at that time.
And, you know, what you're saying is actually common. And, you know, I'm not criticizing medical professionals who, as you said, may not even be aware that they're doing it, but it's that subtle feeling of judgment.
Yes.
Based on your weight. And I mean, it's a bias that exists within the medical community. I mean, I can remember when I was obese, feeling like I couldn't go, like everything was going to be just, well, of course you're having XYZ, you're obese, right?
Right.
Like one time my sofa broke, and I think it was just a terrible sofa, but I'm like, well, if I call the company, they're like, well, of course your sofa broke, you're obese. I
mean, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, yes. It did actually break, but I don't think it was because I was obese. I think it was just poorly constructed. But, you know, that is something I think that a lot of healthcare professionals are personally working on, because just because we're obese doesn't mean that's the reason we're having these problems, although that could be part of it. So, all right. So you got that kind of feeling from her.
I did. Yes. So then she suggested that maybe I should see a specialist about sleep apnea.
Right. I thought that's where she was going right with that thought.
Well, I said, really? Okay. All right. I'll do it, you know, just to do it.
These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And just to jump in there, I actually was diagnosed with sleep apnea when I was 21, and I was not the least bit overweight at that time. I had terrible sleep apnea all through college. My college roommate complained about the way I snored, and I was, you know, little. I was in college, and so it's not always related to weight. I had to have my adenoids removed. So,
oh, wow. Oh, my
goodness. Yeah. At the age of 21, that was not fun. So you went to a sleep apnea specialist?
Yes, and then I remember, you know, filling out a questionnaire about this and that, and, you know, if I experienced this and that. And when the doctor came in, he saw my answers and he said, well, you don't seem like a candidate for us to do that, but we could, if you wanted to. Would you want to take, you know, a test home and do it at home? You don't have to sleep at a sleep center. And I says, well, is this something that I really need to do? Is there something I can change, you know, with this? And he's like, you could. I mean, you know, just let me know if you wanted to do this. But in the back of my head, I kept thinking, I just don't want to be on a sleep. I don't want to be on a machine at night. I did not want to do that. And I did understand that a lot of, you know, things that we may go through when we're, you know, overweight or obese can, you know, trigger these things. And I just felt like I didn't want to do this. And I knew that I can change something in me so I wouldn't have to go through that.
So he was talking about like a CPAP machine. Yes. I think that's what they're called. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't imagine sleeping with something connected to my face. I mean, I can't wear a sleep mask very well. I can't even, you know, I don't know that I would be able to do it.
Right. Right.
But a lot of people need to, because you know, you got to get oxygen. Oxygen is important.
Oh, I know. I know.
But yes.
I felt like, you know, I was young enough to change my eating habits to just do something different and to be healthier. At that point, I just knew that I wanted to eat better and go back to the gym because I loved going to the gym in the past. I just wasn't always consistent, but I did love going to the gym. So I decided, okay, well, you know, let me do Whole30 again. And I know Whole30 did very well. You know, it was good for me. I loved it. I enjoyed it. And, you know, I already drink my coffee black already. It's something I do. And I drink a lot of water anyway. So let me do Whole30 again. So I did Whole30 again. And in June, I went back to my primary care doctor. And by that point, I had lost about 13 pounds and he saw a difference. And, you know, that was just really excited about that. And I think like a day or two later, I was searching on YouTube and then the internet, and I was looking for, you know, just information about ways of getting healthier, you know. And it just so happened on YouTube, there were suggestion videos. And one of them was about intermittent fasting. I'm like, hey, I remember about that.
Okay. So see, that's why we plant these seeds. Yeah. You know, it had been over a year since your partner's brother and his friend mentioned it to you, and that seed was still there, even though you're like, that sounds crazy. Suddenly, yes. Now you're ready to hear more. So everybody listening, plant those seeds. And if someone says that's crazy, just say, all right, I thought that too. Maybe one day you'll want to know more. And I'm here if you need me.
Yes,
you know?
I firmly agree. Yes, I do. Yes.
So you started with a video. Do you remember who did the video or what the video was?
Oh, my goodness. Don't remember the man's name, but it was a guy in a nice muscle shirt. And he was actually trying to explain the different ways of intermittent fasting, like 16:8, 19:6, and letting us know, oh, this might not be for you if you this and this. That's how I remember that video. I just don't remember the name of the guy that was in the video, but I pretty much went down the YouTube rabbit hole,
right,
as they say. And it was like maybe 3 days. I was just, you know, searching and looking online, and you know, that's when I found Dr. Jason Fung, and he was the only one I found first, other than the people on YouTube. So without, you know, talking to my doctor about it or anything like that, and I said, you know what? I'm going to start today. I'm not going to start tomorrow. I'm going to start today or Monday. No, I'm going to start today because today is the day. I said, what time is it? It's 3:00. Okay. I'm going to do 9 to 5. I'm going to do 16:8. So I'm going to eat my dinner by 5 p.m. and I'll be done.
Perfect. I love that.
Yes, I just didn't feel like I didn't want to wait a whole week or weekend to start something that I felt like, you know, this sounds exciting. This sounds something that's doable and, you know, that I could do.
So you're just going to start today. Like, I have a friend, she started on Christmas Day.
Oh, that's
she heard about it. She's like, I'm starting today. It was Christmas Day. I mean, any day you can do it. 16:8, we could fit 16:8 into any day of our lives.
Yes, yes. So that very first night, I finished by 5 p.m. And I remembered when I was in college, dinner time started at 4:30. And I remember eating dinner around that time, like around 4:30. I'm not going to count the midnight snacking with my friends, but, you know, because that happens. But I remember eating at 4:30 and I loved eating early. And I felt good eating early. And that's why I said, okay, 9 to 5, let me start 9 to 5. And I kid you not, Jen. Oh my goodness. I didn't say the things that I was suffering before at night. So let me bring it back a little bit.
Okay.
So before I started intermittent fasting, I was suffering from acid reflux almost every night, even though I wasn't diagnosed with acid reflux, but I knew what it was and I had it every night. I felt nauseous every night around the same time, to the point where people thought, like, well, are you pregnant? I mean, that sounds kind of strange. I'm like, no, I'm not. But I don't know what's going on. I had that. I had, you know, inflammation on my right ankle. I had pain in my shoulder. And it just so happened that I saw a comment on YouTube or on Facebook, I can't remember. And a woman had stated that they had felt much better and they didn't feel like they had acid reflux anymore. And that really caught my eye. I mean, that really caught my attention. I said, wow, oh my gosh, this person, you know, she's doing, you know, intermittent fasting. Maybe this is something that I could do for me. And maybe this could help with that, you know? So when I did the 16-8 the first day, when I woke up the next day, I kid you not, I felt like it was magic. I know intermittent fasting is not the magic pill or the magic, you know, anything. But to me, I thought it was some sorcery going on. I said, what is happening right now?
So all you did was you stopped by 5.
I stopped by 5.
And the next morning you woke up and...
I felt great. I didn't feel nauseous that, you know, the night before. I didn't have acid reflux. Even the pain just felt like it was less in my shoulder and my right ankle. And I was just amazed by how I was feeling.
I think that's important. A lot of people have issues with acid reflux and eating close to bedtime.
Yes.
You know, if you eat too late at night, it causes the food to, you know, when you lay down, the food backs up. And so that makes, I mean, even though it sounds like, how could that magic happen on day one? It makes sense when you think of the physiology of what might be related to your acid reflux and that little, you know, the keeping the food from going back up and at night, that can make a huge difference. Not having a full stomach when you go to bed.
Yes. And I understand that for a lot of people, they don't feel well when they go to bed on an empty stomach. But
correct.
For me, I felt amazing going to bed on an empty stomach. I didn't feel any of those, you know, things that I was feeling before. And I was just so amazed by it.
That's perfect. And that just goes to show we all have our different reasons for choosing the window that works for us. And if you're someone who suffers from acid reflux, shifting that window earlier could be your magic time.
Oh, yes. I definitely believe that. And I just knew that it was going to work for me. I mean, the first complete day that I did fasting, I says, you know what? This is just too amazing. I feel good. It's the first day. And I just couldn't believe it. I said, no, that just can't be. But really, I felt amazing. So I said, you know what? I feel like this is for me. I'm going to keep going. And, you know, I'm just going to keep going with this. And
there's a lot to be said for the power of a positive mindset. You woke up that day and you said, I know this is going to work for me.
Oh, yes.
And belief is powerful. There are studies about it. I talk about them in Fast, Feast, Repeat. And, you know, if you believe that something is going to help you, and, you know, obviously you've got the science behind it. This is not just, you know, magical thinking, but
right.
It's much more likely, you're much more likely to be successful. So I love that. So you woke up that next day and you were doing 9 to 5 that day?
Yes, yes. I decided to do 16-8. At that time during that week, I told my partner about it and I mentioned, hey, you remember what your brother said last year? Well, I, you know, been looking into it and I think this is what I wanted to do. And, you know, I love him to death. He's always been supportive since the beginning. You know, I said, do you want to do it with me? He's like, I'm not so sure I want to do that. And he's like, but you know what? I love you. And you know, and I want you to do what makes you happy and what makes you feel good. And I said, that's wonderful, babe. You know, so he's always been very supportive.
That's awesome.
So I wanted to do 16-8. I didn't want to jump into 18-6 right away, which I know, you know, some people do with, you know, within a week or two, but I really wanted to do 16-8 for a good solid month, just to get my body used to this adjustment of, you know, fasting and then eating between a certain, you know, time frame. I just wanted to see what my body would do with that, you know, what kind of internal healing is going to happen, you know?
And, you know, 9 to 5, it doesn't sound hard.
It doesn't.
You know, most people think that for 16-8, you would do, you know, like a common idea is that you just skip breakfast and push it to lunch and then you do like noon to 8. But 9 to 5 is 8 hours too. You're just shifting that. I mean, that almost sounds like a normal day when you think of it like that.
Correct. Yes. So when I was doing 9 to 5, you know, I think the first week or two, I was trying to schedule like my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And okay, let me have my bag of almonds in my bag because I might want a snack in between, you know? And I was able to have 3 meals like the first week and a half, but then I started to see the difference where, well, you know, I'm starting to feel fuller than having, you know, than feeling with the three meals. So let me see if I can shorten up the time, you know, but I wanted to wait for a whole month to do that, you know? So,
right.
So I stuck with the 16-8 for a whole month and I decided, well, let me do 16-8 Monday through Friday. But on the weekends, I'll try 18-6 and see how that goes.
And that is also the opposite of what so many people do. They're like, I want to have longer windows on the weekends. And I love, though, that you're making it your own.
Yeah. So I did that for the first weekend of like the second month of me, you know, doing intermittent fasting. And that was in July of 2019. So then I said, well, you know what? 18-6 was really great. Okay. So the next week, I'm going to do 18-6 from Monday through Friday. And then on the weekend, I'll do 4-hour eating window just to give me that gradual, you know, pace, because I didn't want to do it too fast and then just get discouraged or feel like, oh, it's too hard. You know, I didn't want to. I really wanted to give myself some time and be patient with it. You know,
I love that. And you know yourself, and you know that you're more likely to be successful long term if that's the way you approach it, where somebody else might be like, I'm going to do 24 here on day one. And maybe that's what works for them.
It works for some people. Yeah.
Rip off the Band-Aid, right. But you eased your way in. And so it probably got easier and easier over time.
Oh, it definitely got easier over time. After that first weekend of 24, I just decided to do the 24/OMAD.
Uh-huh.
Because in the beginning, when I heard about OMAD and read about OMAD, I said, oh no, I can't even imagine just having the one meal, you know, during the day. I just couldn't. But during that time, I could do it. And that's what I've been pretty much doing ever since, give or take, like, you know, holidays or, you know, birthdays and all that.
Okay. So you consider yourself to be a one meal a day girl.
I'm an OMAD girl. Yeah.
How does that look? It's just so funny to me. You know, I don't know if you've heard me say this on the podcast before. I never say OMAD.
Even in my head,
when I'm reading it in my head, when I write OMAD, I still in my head say one meal a day.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. I mean, you know, when I started the group, the first Facebook group in 2015, it was the one meal a day intermittent fasting lifestyle group. And it was one meal a day. We weren't using the abbreviation OMAD back then. And no one was doing one meal a day. There was like one guy who had a blog. I mean, this is 2015. One guy had a blog that you could search for where he was trying one meal a day. I mean, that was it. And it was like wacky the way he explained it. But that was it. There was that one guy who ate one meal a day with his blog. And then we were doing it in our group. And so over time, people started saying OMAD, OMAD. It's just funny every time.
how kind of that just like transitions.
It is. And here we are. And now there are like a lot of people doing OMAD with all these rules of how it has to be. And I'm like, well, that's not how we started, but okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So how does your OMAD, I'm going to have to start doing it. How does your OMAD look?
So my OMAD looks, well, it could vary, you know, during the weekdays because of my work schedule. My weekdays aren't always 9 to 5. I actually have like different time schedules during the week. But normally my OMAD, I'd like to have my OMAD, my one meal a day, between 1 and 5, sometimes 2 and 6, you know. I enjoy having my meal earlier and I know how I feel when I eat too late. So I like to have that, you know, that meal earlier in the day. I have two small children. One is, she's going to be 6 this week and my other one's 4. And when I'm with them during the weekday, you know, for dinner time, they know that I'm not eating dinner with them, not because I'm hungry, because they know that mommy feels better when she eats earlier. And that's why mommy feels full right now, but I'm going to sit with you and be with you and spend time with you while you eat.
I love that you're already letting them know that you're listening to your body. They saw you eat before. They know you ate before. And this is when you feel better.
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, there are times on the weekends or during parties or if it's like a, you know, a vacation day, I will extend my eating window. You know, sometimes I'll do like a 6-hour eating window and, you know, for the occasional like party, I'll do 8 hours and I'll have dinner with them, you know, and they enjoy that too. But they also know that mommy loves to eat earlier.
So how do you structure it within that 4 hour period? Like what, like do you start with a snack or do you start with the meal? What does it look like for you?
For me, in the beginning, I was doing like I was just doing the meal, like straight, just the meal. And then that's it. But over time I said, well, you know, I can have like a meal, like in the restaurant type, you know, like you're in a restaurant, you can have like your appetizer and your main course and maybe a dessert if I really, really want it. So I can have my one meal a day, either between like an hour window eating, which I've done before, or I can do it within two or within three. I try not to crunch it in there and like within that 1 hour, you know, which I've done sometimes, you know, some days, but it's not always that way. But that's how I like to structure it.
Yeah, we have that flexible timing. And so sometimes if I'm really, really busy and don't eat till late because I'm so busy, my window might only be an hour. But most days it's not. Most days it's longer. I don't know if you've heard me talking about it on podcast or not. By now, everyone will have heard me if they listen every week. But I did a little experiment recently where I was opening with a meal and then I flip-flopped my snack and my meal.
Yes, I remember that.
And I was feeling so good. It worked so well. And then I realized it was messing up my sleep. Like,
wow. And
like reset my circadian rhythm in some kind of a way so that I wanted to go to bed at 7 p.m.
Oh my goodness.
And I was waking up really early. And I'm like, okay, my body doesn't like this. So I've gone back to really basics for me. What worked for me for all those years, I'm doing it again. I'm opening my window a little later with a snack. So I kind of have like a soup course right now. It's winter here when we're recording this course. It comes out in June. So when people are hearing this, it'll be summer. Who knows what I'll be doing then. But right now I'm having like a soup course. I'm using like this soup bowl, Daily Harvest bowl. And I'll have that maybe at, I don't know, 4 o'clock. And then later I have my main dinner with Chad. And I'm back to my normal sleep schedule. It feels better.
Oh, that's good. That's wonderful. Yeah.
It is. But, you know, even me, the point I'm making there is it's okay to change it up even after you've been doing it for as many years as I have and trying something new and realizing, huh, really going back to the way it was before really did work for me.
Yeah.
But for you, you know, you like to go to bed with that empty stomach because you feel better with your reflux.
I do. Yes. Sometimes I even have an eating my OMAD window in the morning.
Really?
I don't often do it anymore because I used to go to this. Well, I still do. I used to go every Thursday to this mom and pop like diner in Connecticut. That's not too far away from me. And I used to go every Thursday. But ever since I started doing intermittent fasting, I don't go every Thursday anymore because it just so happens that my window doesn't open up that early. So if I do want to enjoy breakfast that early, I'll make sure that I'll, you know, eat earlier the day before so I can open up the next day. So even, you know, it's for me, it's very easy for me to, you know, be flexible with the eating schedule and work schedule and life schedule, at least for me. It is.
That's the whole name of the game with intermittent fasting, because it is flexible and it doesn't have to be the same. You know, you said some days it's an hour, some days it's 4 hours, some days it's 6 hours. And the day that it's 1 hour isn't, quote, better than the day that it's six. It's just a variety of life.
And my job, you know, allows me to do that. Actually, my job allows me to be flexible with my lunch because we don't have a set lunch hour. So if I want to have lunch whenever I want to have lunch, then I can do that within an hour or two if I need to.
That's nice to have that flexibility. I remember all those years as a teacher. I mean, I can still remember, I don't know why it's in my head, but when I started teaching in 1990, my lunchtime was 12:08.
Wow.
That's what we had to eat with our kids. Yes, I had lunch at 12:08. And it lasted from 12:08 to 12:38.
Oh,
that
wow.
was it.
Very short window.
That was not very flexible. And of course, I wasn't doing intermittent fasting. I was eating all the time back then. But intermittent fasting, I don't know if anyone was talking about it then. I think they weren't. But that doesn't mean people weren't doing it.
Right.
Because people have eaten this way
for so long.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People who have just always listened to their body cues may have done this, you know, all along. So talk about some of your, you know, you mentioned all those health issues you were having before and how your body felt. What has changed other than the acid reflux? I know you mentioned you were having that congestion issue.
Oh, yes. Oh, the congestion. Oh, my gosh. I don't suffer from that anymore, actually. It's I barely get sick now. If I do, it's probably just a little sniffle here and there, but I no longer suffer from upper respiratory infections like I did before. I haven't suffered laryngitis since it's been 2 years. I haven't had that. The inflammation in my right ankle is gone.
That's amazing.
It's just non-existent there. There's no pain there. It's no puffiness. It's not there anymore. My right shoulder, the pain, the inflammation is gone.
That's fabulous. And, you know, I thought of something also. There's something called, you know, silent reflux, and laryngitis and congestion can actually be signs of reflux.
Oh,
people may not recognize it as
that. No, I didn't know that.
Yep. Yep. But it can be. So anyway, I wonder if that was a connection for you.
It's a possibility.
If the laryngitis might have been related to your reflux. Hard to know.
Regarding health things about my body, those were the only things that I was suffering from. I was actually very lucky. I didn't suffer from high blood pressure or, pre-diabetes or high blood cholesterol, cholesterol or anything like that. Even though it's, a lot of family members on both sides, do suffer from that. I was actually very lucky that I didn't, even though I was very obese.
Now you're young. How old are you?
I'm 38.
Okay. You're not that. You look fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
Why was I thinking you were younger than that? I can actually see Vanessa, everybody. So 38.
A lot of people think I'm younger than what I say.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought that. But I was wondering if you were on your way to some of those conditions, you just hadn't gotten there yet. Because that's what I feel about myself. I had not been diagnosed with prediabetes officially or anything like that. But I feel like it was just going to be a matter of time.
I can agree that about myself, even though my doctor said that everything looked good, even at my heaviest, I was at 252, at my heaviest. My doctor never mentioned that I was on my way to pre-anything,
Right.
But I was still fearful that I would have those conditions.
Especially if we look to our parents.
Right.
My dad is a type 2 diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And
my mother is too. Yeah.
Yep. So... I'm pretty sure that's where I was headed.
Right.
For that reason.
So for me, just, with the acid reflux and, and all that, I also wanted to make sure that I could, try to prevent these diseases in me, because I knew it was predisposition for that because of family members. So for me, with me starting intermittent fasting, it was really more for the health benefits and not the weight loss, even though I kind of knew this was probably going to happen with the weight loss. But for me, starting intermittent fasting was really more about the health benefits. That was most important to me. And it's important to me now still.
I think so. I think for all of us, we all would like to be at an ideal weight for vanity reasons. It feels good to be at a good weight, but we want to be healthy.
Oh, yes.
Because your health is really the most important thing. So, let's go back to weight. Let's circle back to that. How is intermittent fasting, even though you did not initially come to it for the weight loss, what's happened with your weight?
Okay. So since me starting intermittent fasting, I have lost about 66 pounds.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And I've lost over 20 something inches off my body.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. So are you where you want to be? Do you feel like you're at maintenance? Do you feel like you are in your body's healthy weight range?
I feel like right now my body's at its healthy weight range. I'm currently around 173, 177, around that time weight. But I actually never had a set goal weight. I remember being around 174 when I was much younger, in my late 20s. And I remember feeling and looking my best. So I kind of wanted to feel and look my best around that same type of weight number. I just never saw myself lower than a 150 or 140. I just never had that in my mind where, okay, I need to be 135. I need to be No, I was never like that. And I'm still not like that. So
I think that's really good. You don't have a preconceived notion of what, you quote, should be. You want to be in a body that feels good to live in, where you feel healthy. And so you're probably saving yourself a lot of heartache by not saying, gosh, if you're 173 today, if you might say, gosh, if I could only be 167, my life would be complete.
Right. Yeah. No, you're so right. Yeah.
Right.
No, I never had that in my head where, I have to lose X amount of pounds. by this time, or I have to be these X amount of pounds to fit into these pair of clothes. It just was never like that for me. So I think maybe that's why this whole journey for me has been really amazing. It's been wonderful. It's been easy for me. I say easy because it's been easy for me.
I really think that your attitude is why it's easy. I mean, here's the factors that I've picked out that made it easy. You didn't have a preconceived notion of where you had to be in order to gauge success. You told yourself this was going to be a great lifestyle and you were going to enjoy it. You have set it up in a way that feels enjoyable to you, and you're enjoying every single day. You're enjoying what you're eating. You're not feeling deprived. You're not beating yourself up, but you're also not, I mean, you could be exactly where you are today, but instead feel like you have to lose 10 more pounds or, X, Y, Z, and having a completely different mindset about it. You could feel plateaued and like you're a failure, but you're not. And so your attitude and feeling good in your body and just knowing from the beginning, this is my lifestyle, has set you up for success.
I firmly agree that, yes, because I feel like that's why I've been so successful in this. And that's why it's going to be long-term for me. I already knew this was something I was going to do for the rest of my life, not, for the summer or for this wedding or for any other thing. No, this was a lifestyle that I knew was going to be easy. I was going to make it easy for me to make it easier on my life and to make it to be sustainable for me to do this for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
And I've been loving it ever since.
I'm so glad. So do you talk about it to other people? Do you tell them about it? Do you plant those seeds?
No one can shut me up about that.
Love it.
Yeah. When I first started, I did tell, my family members and my friends that were closest to me, letting them know that this was something I was going to do. And they were all very supportive. Within a month of doing it, I told my coworkers about it. And some of my coworkers are actually doing it right now. They're learning, they're doing their own process. They're learning what's working for them. So they're doing that as well. I didn't tell my doctor right away when I saw him in June. That's when I saw him in June of 2019. Not because I was scared to tell him, but I wanted to see at that time if this was a lifestyle that was going to be sustainable for me.
That makes sense.
And I wanted to see if this was something that I can see through, that I wanted to see that it worked for me health-wise, weight-wise. I just wanted to see if this was going to work for me.
You were experimenting, and so you weren't ready. Now, the official, recommendation is always check with your doctor before you begin.
Yes,
we've all heard that before, but I totally understand.
I did it.
You're like, I don't want to, get into it. I want to, first of all, if I'm not going to like it, I don't even want to mention it until I'm certain.
Exactly. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So you've mentioned it to him since?
Yes. So that year, 2019, I think it was December 2019, I had an appointment with him. And I already knew that I lost a good amount of weight at that time. I think somewhere around like 40 pounds or something like that. And I was just sitting on the table and I was just super excited, like a little kid, just can't wait to tell my doctor what I've been doing, because I was already had it in my head that I was going to tell him what I'm doing, regardless of what his reaction is going to be or not. I'm going to tell him what I've been doing. So my doctor came in, he already had the chart in front of him. He saw how much I lost at that time. And he said, so I see you lost a nice little amount of weight. And then he turned around and he said, so tell me, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? I said, are you ready, doctor? Are you ready for what I'm about to tell you? And he's like, yes. I said, and I explained to him what I was doing, that I was doing intermittent fasting. And to my surprise, he said, oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So tell me, what's your window? I said,
love it.
I was like, he's talking to me about windows. I was so excited. He's not an older doctor. He's probably in his 30s. So he's a really young doctor. So just for him to know what intermittent fasting was about, at least even a little bit about it, just made me feel so excited. So I explained to him what I was doing, and he asked me how much water I was drinking. And, I drink a lot of water. A lot of water all day, every day.
I'm drinking hot water in a mug right now.
I got my black coffee right there. I haven't eaten yet. And he said, he said, you know, we got your blood work back, you know, everything looks great and you're feeling great and you look great and all this stuff. And he's like, you know, I'm like, well, what do you think? He's like, well, you know, I can't knock what's working for you. And you know what? That's wonderful. You keep it up and we'll come back, you know, in a year. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm so excited. Yes, yes. So, you know, not only having my family and my friends and even my coworkers be supportive, it was even more amazing to have my primary care doctor be supportive of it. Because I know there's a lot of doctors out there that are just like, no, that's not healthy.
They just, if they think that it's not healthy, it's because they don't know.
Right, right.
They just really don't know. And I think the turning point was right around that time that you're mentioning, December of 2019, when the New England Journal of Medicine published the article. You know, from what I've heard, you know, the people who wrote that review article, Dr. Mark Mattson and his colleagues, were asked by the New England Journal of Medicine to write the article because so many primary care physicians and others were asking for more information. They're like, we need to know. I mean, that could all be made up. I just heard that. It's like a rumor.
Right.
But it's plausible to me that's why they wrote that article. That's the rumor. But that doctors wanted to know. They're like, okay, my patients are coming in. They know they're doing this. I don't know enough about it. What do I tell them? And so then, you know, this article came out in the New England Journal of Medicine. And now the doctors are like, okay, you know, they've got this resource. It summarizes why this is a healthy lifestyle. And so for anybody who's listening, if you do get pushback from a doctor, send them to that. I think it was December 24th or December 26th or whatever, right around December of 2019. Send them to the New England Journal of Medicine. They're not going to argue with that.
Nice. Yeah.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a car or a house. It's the four wheels that get you where you're going and the four walls that welcome you home. When you combine auto and home insurance with Amica, we'll help protect it all. And the more you cover, the more you can save. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
You know, doctors are not, because that's like the premier medical journal that they're used to. So, but I was hoping, or I was kind of like wondering if your doctor was going to say he's an intermittent faster.
You know what? I didn't ask him that. No, I didn't. But you know, that's a good question for me to ask him when I see him next time.
Yeah. And maybe if he wasn't in 2019, maybe he is now.
Hey, you never know.
That would be cool.
During this journey, I actually found out, you know, certain people in my agency that I work for have been intermittent fasters for years, and I never knew. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing, you know. Or a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in some time, you know, she ended up telling me that she was, you know, fasting too. So it was really exciting to see that other people were doing it.
And you're not alone.
No, I was never alone, but I definitely wanted to be part of a community that was, you know, learning about it and helping others. And that's how I was able to find like the groups on Facebook. I didn't initially find your groups at first. I was part of the Intermittent Fasting for Women. I think it's still there. And I remember someone posting something about, oh, will this break this fast? And then someone just posted like a snapshot of your like little lists of,
right,
you know,
like my graphic, right, that I made.
And
yeah,
when I looked at that at that time, this was in the summer of 2019. This is before I found out about you. I said, who is this gin person? And what does she mean by, you know, no lemon in my water? Because I was doing lemon in my water for a time. And I noticed that it wasn't spiking my insulin or anything, but I wanted to be a clean faster, and it was super important to me. So, you know, then I saw your, you know, delay the deny group, and I saw your one meal a day group, and I started, you know, I was part of that sometime in December too. And I've been part of it ever since, even in the advanced one too. I'm part
right.
of that.
Well, yeah. Good. I'm so glad. Glad that you're all in the communities. That's great. And I really think the communities are helpful. You know, we need to have a support system around us. And because even though like you've got real people in your life doing it, but there's still something about the power of the group and realizing, you know what, it's not just, you know, person here, a person there. It's hundreds of thousands of people here in our community doing it together. And I really think that that's part of why I've been successful and able to keep it off, you know, because I'm part of this community and it's accountability for me. And it helps to feel like we're all doing this together. We're in it like our intermittent fasting team.
Oh, yes. I love it. It makes me feel so happy that there are others out there that are on the same journey as me. And, you know, we all want to feel good and look good. And, you know, it's a good time to be alive.
Really? Mm-hmm. It really is. And thank goodness for, you know, the internet. You know, people, you know, we criticize social media, but thanks to social media, we're able to find communities that we wouldn't have been able to find.
Oh yeah, that's so
on our own. Yeah. If we didn't have it. And it's a real community and we care about each other. And, you know, we've got people in our community who, you know, we know that their dog just died or that mm-hmm. they're, you know, and we're sorry about that, or that someone's recovering from illness or that they're having this other struggle. And so it's like we support each other like a family.
Correct. Yes. And, you know, I try to send my friends and my family members links to, you know, about reading about your book or your podcast. I love your podcast. I
thank
everyone,
you
know, if you want to learn more about it, you know, this is something you can dip your feet into, you know, listen to the stories and hear what others have to say. An example was my father. He's a real, like, not health nut, but he's always been health conscious his whole life. And he's in his late 60s. He just recently retired. And he actually started doing fasting as well because he just saw the excitement that I was having. And now, actually, for the past few months, he's been doing one meal a day, which he thought he would never be able to do. And he's really proud of himself. So it's just really nice to help inspire others. You know, I love that I've been able to help inspire, like, my friends and family and even strangers that have come to me in Facebook, from the Facebook, you know, support groups, you know, through the DMs asking me, oh, you know, can you help me? You know, I said, sure, if you want me to, you know. So it's really great.
It really is, you know, having that person that you feel like you're mentoring, or I mean, not that you feel like you're mentoring, you are mentoring them, and knowing that you're kind of paying it forward and helping someone else feel successful. You know, we're recording this in February. By the time June comes around, I'm sure it'll all be announced, but I'm working on a platform for even more connection.
Oh, exciting.
With our intermittent fasters and more, you know, ability to mentor each other, meet up in person.
Oh, that's wonderful. I would love that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it because I think that's what we all need, we crave, especially after a year of pandemic.
Oh, and yes.
Oh. Feeling like we're all
oh, yes.
We're craving even more connection than ever. So
even, you know, even during the pandemic, when the gyms were closed during that time, I couldn't go to the gym. I was actually surprised. I lost like even a pound just by, you know, doing what I was doing with intermittent fasting. And I wasn't even mad or sad about it. I'm like, okay, well, that's wonderful. You know, I didn't need to go to the gym to lose extra anything. Oh, even though I love the gym, by the way,
right.
Love lifting weights to feel strong.
So wait, I was going to ask, what do you love to do at the gym? Weightlifting is your thing.
Weightlifting, the weight machines. I love that. I do some cardio and I do love spinning class, you know, when I'm able to do it. But yeah, even during the pandemic, you know, I stuck to it. Intermittent fasting every day. I didn't lose one day of intermittent fasting. It was some, you know, it's my lifestyle. It's just like every day, you know?
Absolutely. And even if we don't ever take a day off just because, you know, even if you wake up and you only had a 12-hour fast, you still had a 12-hour fast.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no days off.
None.
If you're sleeping.
That's right.
Unless you're getting up in the middle of the night to eat, which, you know, hopefully we're not doing that.
No.
So you have your tastes in food changed at all? I know you mentioned earlier, you know, Whole30 helped you pinpoint things. Has it changed more thanks to intermittent fasting, or are you just pretty much the same?
No, it has definitely changed. I've definitely noticed that certain foods that I used to love and eat all the time, and when I have it now, it just doesn't taste the same. Like takeout Chinese food. It does. I used to love it so much, you know, my pork fried rice and all that. But now when I have it, it just doesn't taste good.
Yep. That's one food I will not eat. I mean, it could be Augusta, Georgia doesn't have any, what's the word I'm looking for? Really high quality Asian food, or at least I haven't found it. Yeah. I love Asian food, but we don't have the restaurants. Like our nicest Asian restaurant that I'm aware of is like P.F. Chang's, if that lets you know. Yes.
We don't even have quality. We don't even have P.F. Chang's in Connecticut anymore.
Up a notch from – and no knocking the restaurants. You know, I used to love them is my point. I used to love to go to, you know, egg rolls, any Chinese restaurant. I would love it. And now it just tastes too processed for me.
Right. And even like pizza places or even chicken spots or – you know, it has to be window worthy.
Yeah. Like so the next time I go to the West Coast, when I go visit my son Cal, who lives in San Francisco, I'm going to make sure to find some really good Asian restaurants that are good quality. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah. So for me, if I'm going to a restaurant or a takeout, it has to be like window worthy, you know, restaurant or takeout, even the pizza. It has to be window worthy pizza. It just can't be any type of pizza from a pizza place, you know? So yeah, my tastes have definitely changed with that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's good. We're worth it.
Yes. Yes. I can say the only thing that I don't have anymore, and that's just my personal choice, is soda. I've cut soda completely out of my diet. I just choose not to. And the creamer and the sugar in my coffee. Those are the only two things that I personally cut out from the diet. Yeah.
I used to really like Coke, like I would buy, or I would buy like the Pepsi throwback with real sugar, and I would have that for a treat.
That was,
you know,
my soda of choice.
yeah, but I can't think of the last time I really cannot think of the last time that I bought soda and brought it into the house.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, I still drink my, you know, San Pellegrino.
Yeah, I think from, yeah, it's been about 3 years since I've had soda.
It's been a long time. I used to always have it like a little emergency stash there. I don't know, just in case, you know, I don't know. Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
What I would tell someone about intermittent fasting, I would let them know that, you know, I know the word fasting can be scary when you hear it, but I would, you know, let them know about the fasting groups. I wish I knew about the fasting support groups on Facebook when I first started. And of course, your books. I would have enjoyed, you know, reading your books, you know, in the beginning, which I didn't. It took me a year to actually read your books, but that's something I would, you know, suggest, and also the podcast. And I would also let, you know, people know, you know, to take pictures and to measure your body, because, you know, the scale doesn't always show what's going on with everything inside. You know, there's a lot of internal healing, and, you know, our bodies change, you know, the composition and all that, you know, recompositioning of everything. So, you know, and take pictures. That's super important to do. And drink that water. Drink that water. I know if some people said, "Oh, it doesn't taste like anything. It tastes yucky." What do you mean? It's life. You know, water is amazing.
It is. That also, people are like, "I can't stand plain water." I'm like, "What? What?"
Yes, I'm like, "What do you mean you can't stand water?" What? No.
We hear it though. People are like, "I just can't drink plain water." I'm like, "Yes, you can."
Oh, yes.
Yes, you can. Yes, yes. You know, we need that mouth entertainment. We've been trained, you know, and when I was a school teacher, the children would come in with their water bottles, because, you know, we started over time allowing them to have water bottles with them. But then they're like adding all this water enhancer, and we're like, "Stop."
Yeah,
no,
I never liked those anyway either. Ugh. And I would also let them know that, you know, as hard as it can be to try not to compare your journey to other people's journeys, because all our journeys are different from everyone else's. Our bodies react differently to the foods we eat, or how we fast, or how we sleep. So, you know, I would say, follow your own journey and look at others for support and guidance, but don't look at it as like, "Oh, it's a competition. Oh, that's, you know, it's not fair. This person lost X amount of weight or inches and I lost nothing or gained something." You know, be kind to your body, be patient in the process, because like we all say, this is not just a diet or a fad that's can come and go. This is something that we will be doing for the rest of our lives. So you have a whole lifetime to make it work for you and make it right for you.
I love it. Well, Vanessa, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's G-I-N
at intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.